School Football Scoreboard Show.
Brought to you by QC Kinetics, non-surgical treatment for joint pain, and Mark Spain Real Estate. Get a guaranteed offer on your home today at markspain.com. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, 92.9thegame.com. Into the 11 o'clock hour on the Scoreboard Show on this Friday night. Sam Crenshaw along with Chris Parker. Glad you are with us and wherever you may be, if you're just sitting and listening to the show, if you've been with us all evening, or if you headed home from your game that you've been at. Hope you enjoyed your game. Hope your team won. And, you know, maybe you're on your way to get that, you know, little pizza or some wings or whatever you're on your way to doing, you know, after the game, you know. Coaches will get to celebrate.
Waffle House. I mean, maybe some pizza and wings.
Maybe,
but, you know.
We'll use a Waffle House.
I think that's people are hitting now.
Okay.
We're catching them on the way from the stadium to the Waffle House.
Oh, the stadium to the Waffle House. Well, thanks for letting us ride with you along to Waffle House.
Yeah, sure.
Scatter, covered.
Or wherever else.
Scatter, covered, and smothered. Yeah. I tell you, someone who may be going to Waffle House is the next guy we're going to talk to here. He might be. I don't know.
He's a man that's always on. Yeah. Always open.
Yeah.
Much like the Waffle House.
Much like the Waffle House. Jeff Centel joining us now. Great to catch up with you. You know, you're out moving around. And who are you watching tonight?
Gentlemen, hey, man, it's a pleasure. I was at North Forsyth High School, Raider Valley, because I wanted to see North Atlanta and their big-time edge rusher, Chase Linton. First of all, guys, isn't that a great name for a pass rushing prospect?
Very
Chase.
Much.
He's taking his official visit to Georgia tomorrow. He's going to go see Georgia Tech. He was at one time a Rutgers commitment. And hey, fellas, I got to say something about Waffle House. First of all, God bless the Waffle House, because sports writers – coming back from a game, that's about all we got, kind of like coaches. But I will say this, and I'm not too happy with this. Do you gentlemen know that the Waffle Houses in SEC college towns on the weekend are only to go only on the weekend?
What?
Isn't that a crime?
What?
Yeah, I think at Auburn, Malzahn used to go to the Waffle House. That was like his thing.
Yeah.
So they've shut that down, huh? To go only.
I think it's like maybe a remnant of COVID, but probably they just don't want it to look like the sober up station, if you guys know what I mean.
Oh, God.
That's why.
Oh.
Hey, but there are other places for that. They didn't get rid of that. They just, you know, supplanted it.
Right. So what did this guy show you tonight?
Well, he got a couple sacks. I tell you what, the consistency of the square inches of jersey per snap that sometimes that North Forsyth offensive tackle was getting on him was pretty strong. He got some holding. I asked Chase after the game, fellas, and I said, hey, man, what about that holding look like? He's like, man, if they ain't holding, they ain't trying. I know what they got to try to do.
Yeah, his first step was really good. I watched the video you posted. And that tackle didn't stand a chance. Let me ask you this, Jeff. How often do you go to a game? This may be a strange question, but how often do you go to a game like this where you're looking at Chase and you see somebody else? Maybe even somebody that's not on your radar. Is that a thing or is it not?
It is. And it's kind of funny. I'll give you a great example. I went to see Douglas County, and I was at Douglas County for it was a scrimmage. They were playing Lithia Springs earlier this year, and you know I was there to see, like, you know, Douglas County's got 2 5-star receivers. Mm-hmm. They've got a lot of great players. They got another wide receiver that's senior that's going to USC. It's probably pound for pound one of the best high school football players in the state. And all of a sudden, I guess I feel like a coach, because all of a sudden I look around and I see this 6'9", 330-pound sophomore, and his name is Joshua Sam Appel. I love it. Answer your question, Coach. I love it, because that's almost like, you know, you're Easter egg hunting at grandma's house or mama's house, and you find the prize egg, like, on your first lap around the yard. I mean, that's what it's crazy. When you see a player like that, you're like, I got to find all about that kid.
Yeah. And you know what I like that question too, Sam, was like, how many kids that if Jeff came to your game to see somebody else, then you make him pay attention to you.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, it's so many opportunities out there for kids now because of video, because of the different coverage that people get. And so I love that. I love that answer because you just never know what you're going to see, and you're not locked on to one person. Like, you don't have eyes and you can see other things. And I like people to hear that.
You know, I really get intrigued by, like, here's a great example. I know you guys got at least one eye on that Milton-Gainesville game right now as it's heading towards the final. And this is a guy, and I'll bring up another guy by the name that's going to Georgia, Ethan Barbour, the tight end. And, yeah, he's rated as the number 12 tight end in the country. Todd Hartley doesn't miss on tight end, so you know he's going to be a good one. But every game Ethan Barbour is in, he takes that joker over. Like, he makes the plays. And for me, you can be rated, you can be ranked, you can have all the offers, but you still got to play the game. And when you can get into a game environment consistently and look like the best player on the field, even in high school where there's maybe even the best teams in Georgia, the best matchups on Friday night, fellas, we might see maybe Buford, something like that. We maybe see 20 future college players on the field. And when you can do that with very limited, you know, college players usually, I mean, that's the best chance for you to say, hey, you're going to have to do that at a much higher level where everybody's a college player. So you better be able to do it on Friday night.
Yep, folks, spending time here on the High School Scoreboard Show with Jeff Sintel from Dog Nation. He is social. You can always find him at Jeff Sintel, all lowercase, at Jeff Sintel, all lowercase. What changes with what you do when we get to this stage of the season, Jeff? There are not a whole lot of secrets right now. You know, there may be some that may pop out, but we're at that part of the season where you kind of know who's where and which games. You know, how does that affect your plans for where you go and who you are, who you're going to watch?
Good question, Sam. And for me, you know, the logical thing was for me to say there are no secrets, but everything about college football right now is illogical.
Illogical.
Because, you know, they've made the move where are they going to go to 105? Are they going to bump up scholarships? Here's a good example. Right now, Georgia has one guy who's solidly committed on the defensive line, and they have another one who has opened up his recruitment, but he's not decommitted yet. So I don't know exactly what that means. I probably need a Harvard lawyer or somebody in politics right now to explain that to me. But when you're opening up your recruitment, that means you're no longer committed to a school. That's what I think. Mm-hmm. So as a result, Georgia's looking at getting its 12 defensive linemen are kind of on the bubble right now or on the board where Georgia's sorting them, checking them out, trying to figure out what they want. And that's unheard of. But it's part of the new normal, which is illogical because a lot of these things now is like, yeah, you may be committed to a school, but I always call it Coach and Sam. I call it when I love seeing players get a lot better. Like a kid you saw late in his junior year, and I call it he swallowed the grow up pill and he figured it out. The light bulb went on and he's flashing all the time now. Maybe he's a big guy that lost 30 pounds and really got into shape. But all of a sudden, that kid who was committed to Rutgers, for example, like Chase Linton was in the summer, all of a sudden he gets a lot better, and all of a sudden the big boy watching now and see what he's got. And what that means now is not only is it a bigger school, but now that usually means more NIL, more collective. So it's almost like you play your way up out of a pretty good destination. Maybe you were mid-tier in the SEC, like Arkansas, Florida, and all of a sudden you play a lot better, and all of a sudden now Alabama and Georgia want you.
Wow. See how that works.
That's a great answer. I hope we can hear that. I want to go back to where you're talking about who the good players that are on the field and what you're seeing when Buford plays. And by the way, I am watching Milton and Gainesville, a lot of players on both sides. This Milton team is something. But let me tell you what you may not have seen yet today. So I'm going to make you do this on air, Jeff, because I don't know, I don't want to butcher the poor kid's name, but the running back at Lee County that's committed to Georgia.
Yeah, okay? He's terrific.
Yeah. They're playing Coffee tonight. He is running all over this Coffee defense that nobody runs on.
Right, right.
Like, this guy is the deal. I think is it Usmane Chroma? I hope I'm saying that right. But
pretty close. It's Usmane. That's good.
Okay. Thank you, Jeff. This guy's going to get his name said a lot in Athens.
Oh, yeah.
Like, and I'm saying that off of who he's playing, right? The competition is so good there. Yeah.
I mean, you know what? This is one of those that's going to hopefully make Stan, Statman, Statcat, Crenshaw smile here, okay? They're going to beat two teams that had 20-game winning streaks in the same season. We've never seen that, right? Like Lee County, they knocked off TCC a while back, and now they're going to get, I think, the Coffee County streak is like at 21 or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And this guy, first of all, I remember him as a freshman because Lee County was giving him the ball. He was averaging 12 yards per carry. He was just getting after it. I think he ended up with like 1,800 yards and 24 touchdowns as a freshman. And, you know, he's about 6 feet, a little bit more, 215. And he's really not that fast. He's like, you know what, I can't run the 40, but I don't get caught. Or you may catch me, but you got to get me on the ground. And I saw some of those highlights tonight with Coffee.
Yeah.
And like you're saying, Coach, nobody runs on Coffee. But he's making that look like the little giant, I guess, a little bit, dragon dude.
Yeah.
And you, my favorite part of his story, because, you know, what we try to do is get the backstory of all these kids and kind of figure out their why. Now, his family is from Liberia, and his mother, let me tell you what kind of tough lady she is. She was pregnant with his older sister when she was part of the Liberian national soccer team, and she was still playing and competing for a couple of months while she was carrying his older sister. Family full of athletes. Usmane has so much charisma, and he's a guy, you put him behind that Great Wall of Georgia where everybody now is like 6'8", 340, and he's going to make a lot of yards.
Yeah, he's fast enough, Sam.
Okay.
I saw him run. I don't know how fast he is. He's fast enough. This guy is the real deal, and I'm not an expert on this like Jeff. I was just really impressed watching him run tonight, really.
Chris, you know what Dean Fabrizio did that was really cool? And I love seeing coaches do this because a while back, a few years back, Zamir White's coach did this in North Carolina. He realized that his goal as a coach was not to have him break the entire Georgia State record book, or in Zamir's case, it was North Carolina. And he started limiting a lot of the pounding because Usmane has taken a lot of carries, especially freshman, sophomore year. So what they did is they started teaching him the X receiver, teaching him all the wide receiver spots. So like in that game when he played, I believe it was TCC earlier this year, he only had 14 carries for like 40 yards because everybody was all tight in the box.
Mm-hmm.
But then he caught another six passes for 100 yards. And they're using him as a receiver, keeping him fresh, keeping him out in space where he's not taking that pounding, taking that banging, and that tread on the tires is still going to be good those last 2 years. I love it when high school coaches realize that, especially with running backs that, you know, remember Derrick Henry, those legends where he was getting 48, 50 carries a game in high school. And hey, didn't slow him down. But most of the time when you get that much attrition on your body, especially in big time South Georgia football, it wears on you, especially when Usman's already got over 5,600 career yards.
Because he's been running as a freshman. You know, he's playing as a freshman. Coach Fabrizio, one of the best coaches in the state of Georgia. Absolutely.
Absolutely, absolutely. Jeff, we appreciate everything. Where are you headed next week? Do you already know?
No, I don't. I'm trying to get down to South Georgia because I can't. I'll tell you where I'm at next week. I'm not going to be in South Georgia. The Dog Nation team. There's a football game in Austin, Texas. You might have heard about next weekend.
Oh my!
I'll be over there. I'm probably going to be checking out some of that Texas Forever football. Like, you know, we all got used to see. I might see somebody like Duncanville, one of those big time schools in Texas. next weekend.
If you go out there, we still want to hear from you, man. We want to hear what you see out there.
I'm going to tell you what. There's a receiver named Booby Feaster in the state of Texas. He is a 2027. That means sophomore. And he has that sort of Jeremiah Smith, Ryan Williams, Panache. He's got that skill level already. We've been talking about him for a couple years already in recruiting, and he's a guy that already looks like he's walking on water.
Texas football, you want to win, put Booby in.
Say that. There you go. Jeff, we appreciate it as always, man. Safe travels home, and we look forward to catching up with you next week.
Thanks, Jeff.
Yes, sir. Thank you, gentlemen. Have a great night.
All right, that is Jeff Sintel, Dog Nation. Man, you know, that's a great conversation. Just the
Absolutely.
Things he shared.
Yeah.
I'm so glad we had a chance to have him on with us to talk about
it. I'm just impressed with the knowledge of all and keeping up with all this. I can't keep up with all this. I'm trying. I'm really impressed what they do. They do a great job, Jeff and his old.
They do a fantastic job, and we're glad he's joining us here on the Scoreboard Show. All right, we got more reports coming up. We got one more from Eric Slaughter coming up. Let's see if we can catch up with another coach or two as well. And just about all the games are gone final. More scores when you come back with us for the Scoreboard Show here on Sports Radio 92.90 Game and 92.90game.com.
Back to more of the High School Football Scoreboard Show.
Brought to you by QC Kinetics, non-surgical treatment for joint pain, and Mark Spain Real Estate. Get a guaranteed offer on your home today at markspain.com. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game and 92.9thegame.com's High School Scoreboard Show on this Friday night. A couple of scores I run down have gone final. Etowah was a winner over Wheeler, 16-13. Westminster beats Cale, 16-14. Remember,
big
Westminster?
Big win for Westminster. Yeah.
Playing at home on their field that was totally submerged 2 weeks ago. And they got back out there and they played their game and they were winners. Let's check. And we got some people with some updates for us. Reminder for Sipe County. Let's start with Derek Richmond.
The Lambert Longhorns motto coming to this game against Alpharetta was no smile on our face, meaning they're about their business and they're definitely we're going to stand on it. The Lambert Longhorns only pointed once as they could do nothing wrong against Alpharetta Raiders with the shutout victory 37-0. 34 of those points came from the first half. Ethan Daugherty, quarterback for Lambert Longhorns, was torching the secondary left and right, putting the ball on the money, delivering four touchdown passes before halftime. The Lambert Longhorns, who is tied for second place in Region 6-6A under number one seed North Atlanta, who they lost to in a nail-biter 24-21 last Saturday. I'm Derek Richmond, sports reporter for Forsyth County News.
All right, thanks so much for Derek Richmond from Forsyth County Sports. You want to follow him? He is at DerekRich11, at DerekRich11.
Yeah, give him a follow. He did a good job with that.
It was a good job. He keeps an eye on things out in Forsyth County for us. All right, now just below that, you know, in North Fulton County, there was a great game tonight. And Fox 5's Kelly Price was out there. Let's see if we can check in with Kelly.
Hey, guys. How's it going?
Fine. How you doing?
I'm doing good. Man, that game, like, just ended. It was forever. There was about 5 bajillion touchdowns in that game. Yeah, 46-39, the final score on that one. So, yeah. It was a lot of touchdowns.
Yeah, wow. Cambridge averaging almost 40 points a game coming in there. They moved to 8-0.
37 points per game. Yeah.
Yeah, 8-0, Sam. Cambridge first year coach Tyler Jones. That, you know, they're putting some points up, right, Kelly?
Oh my goodness, yeah. And that's something that I actually talked to him about before the game, and he said kind of the key is being balanced on both sides of the ball, not just being a passing attack, but they certainly were that tonight. Craig Dandridge, their wide receiver, had 3 touchdowns on offense and a pick 6 on defense. So he was all over the place for them tonight. But, yeah, huge offensive explosion. And really, honestly, Centennial was it really was all in the second half for them. They kind of came back out of nowhere, and then it was kind of really back and forth in the end of the third and the fourth quarter. And actually a pick by Cambridge kind of sealed this as Centennial was kind of driving at the end to see if they could maybe come and score and turn this into an overtime game, because it wasn't long enough. There wasn't enough football being played. But yeah, tons of touchdown, tons of offense in this game, but a back and forth affair, and 8-0, like you said, for Cambridge now.
They're 8-0, Kelly. They got two games left. They're going to be tough games. You got Kale. Kale, who lost at Westminster tonight, and then they got Blessed Trinity to finish. So it's not going to be an easy road for them.
No, and Cambridge actually played Westminster really close last week. I forget what the score of that one is off the top of my head, but that one was like in the 30s and 40s too.
Yeah, 42-36 last week. So sound like they're just going to play those kind of games. And, hey, that's okay. They're all nice when you have one more point than the other team. Yeah, regardless of how you get there.
Yeah, for sure. And like you said earlier, like, they were averaging 37 points per game going into this. They haven't scored less than 31 all season. So clearly their offense is kind of the key that's driving them here.
Folks, if you want to follow along with her, she is social at The Kelly Price, at The Kelly Price. What point are you going to be on Fox 5 with your report?
Yeah, so the High Five Sports Show is going to be on at midnight, so you guys have 30 minutes to turn that on TV or get your DVR set or whatever you need to do, but tune in at midnight. You'll have High Five.
Yeah, right after us.
How about that?
Perfect timing. Perfect timing.
If you haven't gotten enough, you got to go right on the High Five and just watch all the highlights we'll bring to you there.
I love that we got that, because this college football on Friday is irritating to me.
It is.
Like, my whole time coaching – I just loved that moment, what Kelly's doing, and
right.
Somewhere different every week. And, you know, I don't ever want us to lose that.
No, man. No way. It's the best.
Friday is supposed to belong to high school football here.
Yeah, I know it.
Northwestern and Indiana playing or something like that. Give me a break. They can play tomorrow.
Kelly, thanks so much for checking in with us tonight. And safe travels.
All right, thanks, guys. Take care.
All right, that is Kelly Price from Fox 5 with that update for us. All right, we got one more of our merry band, our courageous, well, you go out and cover the games. Eric Slaughter has a wrap-up of his game for us.
Sports Radio 929 The Game's Friday Night High School Scoreboard Show. This is Eric Slaughter coming to you from Hillgrove High School, where we have gone final. The Hawks improved to 7-0 in the season, and they take down the Campbell Spartans by the final score of 35-0. Joined now by coach of the game, Justin Deshaun, and our player of the game, sophomore quarterback Jabari Green. All right, coach, first off, congratulations. 7-0, but more importantly, 4-0 in a tough region. Yep. Talk about this game tonight. You really dominated on both sides of the ball.
Well, we have a lot of respect for Campbell, and all week, you know, with the wing tee, it was a nervous prep, and they were really physical up front. And so I'm super proud of our guys tonight. We came out, we were really physical, dominated the game in the first half, kind of forced them to be uncomfortable. And Jabari's a lot for that. He made a lot of good plays in pressure situations in the first half. So really proud of our guys. And looking forward to next week.
Two big keys to the game. You got a turnover early in the first half.
Yep.
Then you repeated it early in the second half.
Yep.
And each time, you turned those turnovers into seven. Talk about the key factor, that third factor of the game, maybe the fourth factor, turnover margin.
Yeah, you know, our first four games, we were a plus 12 in turnovers, and we kind of hit a lull in our middle two with Osborne and Pebblebrook. Last 2 weeks kind of went back in our favor.
Hey,
we are a defensive football team. Make no bones about it. We're really talented up front. And, you know, our offense is built for short yardage situations. And feasting off turnovers is where we live, and we play efficient, and we try to, you know, complement each other and play good football.
Now, Coach, this next question, this is a really good one, because headlines are going to start to roll. You are an elite company, being at 7-0. Some of the big boys are 7-0. How do you keep these guys humble and keep them from reading their own headlines?
Well, this has been a long build for us, and the last 3 years have been challenging. And these kids have stayed bought in. And our motto is STP. We have something to prove. We get together every Monday. We're 0-0. The kids have bought into it. And we go to work. And we're very focused. And we have tunnel vision. I can promise you that. I can promise you the tunnel vision is real.
All right, last question before I talk to your player of the game. You said he had to take over for an injured QB.
Yep.
He accounted for four TDs tonight, three on the ground, one through the air.
Yep.
Talk about his confidence and how you are proud of this young man beside you.
But you got a 15-year-old sophomore quarterback just turned 16 the other day, and he gets thrown in week five, and he's done nothing but study and learn over the bye week. He came up halfway through, and he's embraced it, and his teammates have embraced him, and he just continues to execute at a high level and take his game to a high level, and he's playing smart, efficient football, and he's led us to 7-0.
Coach Justin and Sean, congratulations, 7-0. I'm going to talk to this young man. Good luck next week. Jabari Green, first off, happy birthday. How do you feel? You led your team to 35 points in offense, and you accounted for 28 yourself. Talk about the flow of the game and how you are taking over this offense.
I feel like we did good, and now we just got to worry about McEachern in the next game, Harrison, and then go to the playoffs, win state championship. But I feel like we've been dominating every single game because the coaches, practice, and just hard work.
All right, now I'm going to brag on you a little bit. You tucked and run three times. All three times you got into the end zone. Talk about your vision and how confident you have in your legs.
I'm pretty confident with my legs because I'm just used to running. And, well, the vision, it's natural and just putting in work.
All right, well, last one for you. Last play of the game that you had was a touchdown pass. It was a big game to the end zone, 23 yards. What was the play and what vision? How did you see your receiver?
It was a sloppy. It was a fade slant. And basically, the safety was just in. So the fade was going to be wide open. And I just trusted my player. And I just threw it. And he caught it and took the score.
There it is.
Right there, actually.
Yeah, young man. Found his wide receiver in the end zone. Sophomore, 23 years old, taking over, got a team 7-0. Good luck. You got two more big ones in the region. How you gonna keep these guys focused?
Just keep doing what we're doing, even better. Don't slack off, just keep putting in the work.
All right, that's sophomore Jabari Green, who has took over at 7-0 Hillgrove Hawks. This is Eric Snort. I'm outside the locker room. We got a big crowd. Give it up for Sports Radio 92.9 Game. Back to the studio with Sam and Chris signing out here. Have a good night.
All right, Eric. Fantastic job out there at Hillgrove. Their tremendous season continues, right?
Yeah, they're having a big time, and Eric's there to celebrate. They deserve that.
Yeah.
These are the same kids that are straight. You talked earlier to me about playing young guys.
Mm-hmm.
Well, Hillgrove was one of those teams that played some young guys last year, took some lumps. Now those guys are experienced. They're back.
Yep.
You're seeing a lot of success. Great job by Coach Justin Deshaun. Glad we got people like Eric out there highlighting those guys.
Absolutely. Great finish for them. Great win in their game tonight. And that's fantastic stuff and great stuff from Eric. Appreciate that. Appreciate Derek Richmond checking in with us. And also Kelly Price checking in with us in this segment. So it's been great to hear from them. You got a final score from way down in South Georgia, right?
I'm ready.
What Valdosta?
Valdosta 7, Colquitt County 3.
Woof.
That's not a replay of the 1968 game. That's this year. 7-3, Valdosta over Colquitt
3.
County.
Man, there's some hard hitting going down in that one, folks. All right, all games, I think, are final now. We're going to run those down for you. Look ahead to some of the games that are coming up next week. You stay with us. We got one more segment to go on the Scoreboard Show, High School Scoreboard Show, here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game and 92.9thegame.com.
This is the Games High School's Football Scoreboard Show.
Friday night, Under the Lights. Brought to you by QC Kinetics, non-surgical treatment for joint pain, and Mark Spain Real Estate. Get a guaranteed offer on your home today at markspain.com. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game and 92.9thegame.com. Sam Crenshaw along with Chris Parker here in 9 floors up in our Midtown Atlanta studio. So glad you've been with us tonight for the High School Scoreboard Show. We mentioned the Valdosta game that had gone final. The game up at Gainesville has gone final as well with Milton with the win in that one. We get the final score for that one.
42-24. Milton with the win, Sam. Gainesville looked great. Yeah, I mean, I'm sure Coach Niblett's saying they made some mistakes. I thought they actually played pretty well. I think Milton's just really good. It's going to be really hard for somebody to beat them if they're playing like that.
Yeah. You know, and we saw that early in the season. We said this may just be the best, you know, team in the state regardless of classification.
Well, they were playing those young guys last year, and they won the state championship. So that's a little bit different than the young guys that go 5-5 and next year get you going.
Right.
They put the young guys in and won the state championship.
So that's one, you know, tonight, big matchup for them, and they come through with the big win. Got some other final scores for you. Douglas is a winner. They beat Luella tonight, 39-13 final score. Douglas with the win in that game. Cedar Grove's a winner over North Clayton, 52-35. Cedar Grove a winner in that game tonight.
That's a game Cedar Grove needed. You know, Stevenson beat them last week on Saturday after ours. They needed that win to get back going. There'll still be an issue in the playoffs for some people.
It will be. Cherokee Bluff, I believe, is still undefeated. They beat Monroe Area. That's a good win for them. 52-24, Cherokee Bluff.
How about, you know, Cartersville beat Allatoona 31-0, and Cedartown beat Dalton 44-13. I think both of those results were expected. But
okay,
both teams at 8-0 now play each other next week.
Oh, hey.
8-0 versus 8-0,
hey.
Region game,
mm-hmm.
Cartersville, Cedartown.
That's going to be a good one.
It'll
be a good ball game. That's coming up next week. Elsewhere around the state, we mentioned Cairo earlier. They did get the win over Monroe, 38-14. Syrup Makers with the win tonight. We mentioned Rockmart, that they got the win tonight. They beat North Cobb Christian. North Cobb Christian came into this game undefeated.
Yeah, it was a big win for Rockmart and a big region win. Set themselves up, if they can take care of business the rest of the way, to be the region champions. Troop County beat Trinity Christian in overtime, 20-17. Troop over Trinity Christian in overtime. Congrats, Troop.
Yep, very much. Congratulations on that win tonight. Heard County's a winner. They beat Darlington 48-27. Final in that one, Heard's a winner. Wesleyan over Kings Ridge, 35-17. Final in that game.
Let's see. Hardaway's over Columbus 47-6, and Appling over Crisp 24-7. Stars Mill, big win for Stars Mill. Mentioned earlier, but Stars Mill, the big win over Harris County 28-7.
And that was at Harris County.
Really controlled the game. It was at Harris County. Stars Mill coming off a big win last week against Central Carroll. Sometimes when you come off a big win, you have a letdown. I'm not going to name any college teams.
You know,
that did
you sure
that.
You won't do that? You sure? You can name at least one. Go ahead. We'll allow you to do
sometimes
that.
Sometimes you have a team like Vandy come in there, and humility is always right around the corner. So.
Always.
But joking aside, Stars Mill had a big win like that last week over Central Carroll, like a region champ type win.
Mm-hmm.
And then you come back, you got a pretty good Harris County team. Are you going to, you know, is that going to be a letdown game? Or are we going to take that momentum from that big win and run with it? And you see teams do both, but Stars Mill with the big win tonight, played great, 28-7 win over Harris County, so you see they're a little better than Alabama on that. But, yeah, great win for Stars Mill. It looks like they're going to be – and they got a new coach this year.
Mm-hmm.
Coach Phillips been there for a while. He retired. Coach David Cooper doing a great job there, so looking forward to seeing what they can do the rest of the year.
All right. Elbert County with the win tonight. They beat Banks County 33-0, final score in that one. Irwin County, Charlton County. Boy, you would think this would be a good ball game. Irwin County, 64 points. 64-34 winner. The final as Irwin County gets
64-34.
Yeah.
Small school South Georgia
putting
football.
No kind of points
64-34. Some of these coaches would be rolling over in their graves. No, folks.
Yeah.
64-34. That was a good month.
Yeah, no, that's
for
right.
Some of those teams
right,
back in the day.
Right.
Yeah.
Oh, my goodness. You don't have that down in South Georgia. You don't have that down there. But they had some tonight. That was the final score,
you know,
in that one.
Douglas County beat Westlake tonight 35-22. Just kind of handled business, stayed ahead all night. Douglas County, you know, 7-1. And they lost to Buford, right?
Right.
And they were like number two in the state or something forever. And then they lost to Buford, and you just hadn't heard much about them. But they may have one of, if not the most talented group of guys,
especially
in the offensive skill positions of anybody in the state of Georgia. So, you know, I wouldn't want to play them in the playoffs. Let's just say that.
You wouldn't. Would they be the kind of team you wouldn't want to face in them? But if they end up being a 3 seed and have to go on the road.
Right, if they could. I mean, they're going to be – they got – that's the region that's got Carrollton, mm-hmm. Westlake, East Coweta, Douglas County. I think by winning tonight, they're going to make it hard to not be the two seed or the one. I mean, they're going to get Carrollton still. And if they were to beat Carrollton, which they are one of the few teams that could, then they would be the region champs, and Carrollton's the two seed. How'd you like that in that second round? Oof. After cross over with them?
Yikes.
So that's what you're going to see in that 6A. The consolidation of classes, you know, getting this, not having a 7A anymore, going to see, it's just going to make what used to be a third round game is going to be like a second round game. And what used to be a semifinal game is going to be a quarterfinal game. You know, you're going to see earlier in the playoffs, you're going to see some mega matchups. So just get ready.
Yep, yep. Well, if you weren't with us earlier this evening, we had a chance to talk with some coaches from around the state. Some have been in, you know, unique situations, but we talked with the coach down at Long County, and Coach Feaster was it was just great to talk with him. If you follow our show each week, you know, Chris always talks about Long County. He always brags on Long County because of what that school has dealt with, and well, they hadn't had much success with their football program, and now they're having success and the uniqueness of how they're doing.
Yeah, the power T, baby. No receivers, running backs, and linemen. I don't even know if that quarterback counts as a quarterback because he ain't doing much with the ball except taking it from the center and handing it to somebody. So
he's not going to throw it.
He's not going to throw it. Maybe once a game. But they go for two every time. I just commend the courage, and I guess that's what I wish I'd have said this to him, or to ask him. It takes a lot of courage to do something different.
Yeah.
You know, and a lot of people just don't have that courage to go in a place that had never won and do something different and get kids to buy into it when it is going to be different. But if you can do that, and if you can build that momentum and get that, you know, that buy-in from those kids, you can really build something special by being out of the box and be having the courage to do something different. And those guys do. And it's, well, 6-0 now?
Yeah, yeah.
6-0. How about that? Mike, Long County.
Coach Mike Feaster, and we enjoyed having him on with us.
I give him the best compliment with this, Sam, the best compliment I can give Long County. I don't know anybody that knows more about the nooks and crannies of the state of Georgia like Sam Crenshaw. He knows these places. He's been covering it for years. And I'm pretty sure all you knew about Ludowice was that speed trap.
That speed trap.
So
it was a world-renowned speed trap. Ludowice, Georgia was known. I mean, I think 60 Minutes or somebody may have gone out and done it. See, you're laughing.
Mike Wallace went to Ludowice. We got to find that one on YouTube.
And Andy Rooney.
Yeah.
You ever know about this place called Ludowice, Georgia? You know,
but really. Now you know that place for that power T, that football team.
Yeah.
That really is a neat thing because they were not on the map. They just were not. You can't sugarcoat that. They were not.
Yeah.
Now they are.
Yeah. Yeah, my goodness, just remarkable what he was doing. And just as impressive, we talked with Coach Steve Hibbets from Lakeside Evans down near Augusta. And my goodness, to hear them talk about what the team had to deal with the last 2-3 weeks, you know, after Hurricane Helene came through and really just dealt a blow to that area. For them to hold it together, to come back out and play games this week. And they're getting ready to play, what, 3 games in a period of what?
Games in 8 days. And they'd already played the first one. They got 2 more to come over the next 7 days. And I was just impressed with Coach Hibbets' passion for his team. You know, like he was so proud of their effort. And that was exciting to me. It's really nice when things work like that because they don't always.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, you know, they don't always. So it's really nice when you hear how close the coach is and how much his message is permeating into that team.
Absolutely, absolutely. So that's what they're doing. They had the win over Greenbrier, and we are able to catch up with them and spend some time with them tonight. So it was great to hear the story of their team. They play Thursday night. They will play Effingham County on Monday night, and then they will play Brunswick next Friday night. And so, you know, if you keep your team together during that time, they just you practice. Well, what can you do? All you can do is watch some film, right? You get some film of your opponent.
Yeah, you just do the best you can. I mean, if you don't play for 20 days, but 5 or 6 of them were disaster relief moments, then, of course, those days don't count. But when you can get back, you just try to get back to normal as much as you can, a routine of practice. And, you know, and I think one thing we learned from COVID, Sam, is that these kids are a little more resilient than we thought. I mean, really, I didn't coach during COVID. I was already done by then. So in my day, you had to play on Friday. You had to have this many days off. Every time you didn't, it was a major issue.
Oh, yeah.
And that just wasn't really true. I mean, once you realize kids are resilient, if they need to sit out 2 or 3 weeks and then catch up, they can. It's not ideal.
Right.
But they can. And, you know, I think COVID taught a lot of the bad things, but I think it also did show a few myth-busting things, not just for high school football, but we're talking about high school football.
Yeah.
There was some myth-busting of, hey, it'll be okay.
Right.
If you had to play on Monday and Friday, life will go on, you know. And I'm excited that people have that attitude now about the storm and things like that, because their initial instinct before was to cancel.
Yeah.
You know, we just, if we couldn't do it our way, we just were going to play 9 instead of 10. And I don't like that.
Yeah, and they found a way to do it. I really, when I talk with them, we didn't talk enough about the things that we had talked about. I meant to mention those things to them about all the people who have to be in place.
Yeah.
You know, in order to play those games. Yeah. You know, there's Thursday night. You got to come back Monday night. Of course, the game on the Friday night game at Brunswick, that's going to be on the road. But just to get those people, you know, on the same page again.
Yeah, it's going to be hard on those officials. Look, them kids are in good shape, most of them. They can play 3 games in 8 days. Officials can't run that.
Can we say a shout out to the officials? And I know a lot of officials do listen to our show. If you're listening tonight, ladies and gentlemen, we salute you.
Absolutely.
We salute you for the work that you're doing to help our young people get their games in. And, I mean, some of you may have called 2 games this week, may have called three this week. So we really appreciate you, and we salute you for what you do to keep the games going and, you know, being there for our young folks. Hey, if the folks at the Stripes don't show up, our young folks can't play.
That's right.
So we appreciate them doing that for sure. We got some games coming up tomorrow. We have 3 Saturday games. Way down in South Georgia, Groves is playing at Liberty County. That's a 2:30 kickoff. Therrell is playing Kip Atlanta tomorrow at 7:30, and Hapeville Charter plays Washington tomorrow. BTW, I believe 100 years of Washington High School,
and 100 years,
100 years, and they're having their homecoming and all the big big celebration for the school. I think that's happening tomorrow as well. So congratulations to them and everyone. Thanks to our reporters tonight, our Cub reporter first of all, Kellen Doyle from Roswell High School. Enjoyed having her on with us. Damian Day-Day Lewis, Garrett Jackman, Eric Slaughter, exemplary work as always. I appreciate their work for him. We got Dom Chirosky, other side of the glass. We thank you. Obviously, he enjoyed the school days guest that we had on. Craig Lumpkin, one of the all-time greats from Stevenson High School. I will be back here Sunday morning from 6 until 9 with Greg Clarkson. Hope you wake up with us as we get set for a game day. Of course, later on, the Falcons will be on, and we'll be your place to hear the Falcons and the Carolina Panthers later that day. But we'll get your day started at 6 o'clock. All right, for Chris Parker, Sam Crenshaw saying so long. We'll see you here next Friday night on the High School Scoreboard Show, your High School Scoreboard Show on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game and 92.9TheGame.com.